Marguerite Mailer is the director of production of New York City Ballet and has been stage managing for more than 20 years, primarily in dance. Since joining the production department of New York City Ballet in 1995, she has stage managed more than 2,000 performances of more than 150 ballets in the New York City Ballet repertoire.
Well, with the production of staff, Ms. Mailer supervises scenery, lighting, and other production elements in the NYCB repertory, both at home and on tour. She also coordinates with the other ballet departments and supervises the NYCB and State Theater stagehands.
It is a great pleasure to welcome Marguerite Mailer to the program. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here this morning.
How much does a stagehand make now?
That's
been in the New York Times.
Depends on the time of day.
Yeah, but it's a lot.
Well, I don't know that that's necessarily true when you look at the big picture of what everybody else is making from Donald Trump on down.
Well, more than I'm making.
Should that be the gold standard?
Oh, gosh, I hope not.
Yeah, well, that's it. So, Give us an idea of the career path. Was this always what you wanted to do?
I got into theater actually in high school, and it was really a way to sort of meet friends and to get active socially, and it was a lot of fun. It was really great. And then after high school, when it was time to look for a college, my father actually said, well, you like this theater thing. Why don't you try that? So I looked into it. And I looked all around the country, and there were not that many stage management programs. There were really only about three or four schools that I was looking into. And I happened to be very fortunate that one of the best programs in the country was at the University of Illinois, where I was from.
Chicago.
Yeah, so it was close to home. It was nearby. And it was an excellent, excellent training program.
So really, it's like there are some professions where you really get the idea. There really aren't. They're more apprenticeship than they are, you know, training, formal training. I think, for example, of public relations. Usually they're reporters who go over to the dark side, as we frequently say. How much do you learn in a college or university compared to what you learn by doing it?
Well, the university can give you a great foundation and a great training. And one thing about stage management is that it's very different depending on what you're stage managing for. Like, stage managing for dance is very different than stage managing opera, a Broadway show, straight plays. There's different tasks and there's different requirements for the stage managers.
Like what?
Well, for ballet, you need to have a strong background in lighting and technical theater, because with the repertory, it's changing constantly. It's changing every day. You need to be aware of everything that's around you and what's going on. So you need that technical foundation and also the musicality. Calling a show and working with the dancers, you need to have just as much musicality as they do. And so that sort of helps guide a stage manager into which genre they sort of want to do.
So you're the one in the old films who takes somebody and says, get out there, right? I mean, you have to say, get out there?
Or? No, that is more actually what an opera stage manager would do. An opera stage manager has more responsibilities to tell the chorus and tell people, okay, this is your turn to entrance, this is your time. A dance stage manager, they are working with all of the technical departments. They're talking to the light board operator and the foul spot operators. They're talking to the curtain man. They're talking to the conductor, sending him into the pit and getting the whole flow of the show moving, you know, in a correct path.
You say you're talking to the conductor. What are you talking about with the conductor?
We'll talk to him about at the beginning of the show. We'll tune the orchestra. We'll send him into the pit. But during the rehearsals, we'll talk about transitions and what everybody needs from a transition. Like, sometimes I need a little breath before he starts the next section so I can get the scenery into the right place. Sometimes when he starts the ballet, it all depends on the curtain, what the curtain needs to do. Sometimes there's an overture. Sometimes we need to see the picture before he starts. Other time there's a little overture. I need him to start with the curtain 2 feet up. So we work together to make sure all of that is on track.
So when we come here and we see the scenery, for example, does the scenery have to be done specifically for here, or does it travel with you?
The scenery travels with us. We bring everything with us, but we have to make adjustments for every space that we go into. This theater, while it's similar to our home theater in New York, it's not as tall. Mm-hmm. So when you see Christopher Wheeldon's American Rhapsody, we have a big arch that we designed for the ballet. And when we hung it here, I kind of went, okay, we have to get creative because our theater at home is much taller. So you see much more of the artwork and the perspective and the proportions work very well there. Here, everything's a little bit shorter. So I have to kind of tweak the scenery to get it to look as best it can in this setting.
Do you look at certain works when you see the schedule of, say, oh, it's, let's say, Midsummer Night's Dream, and say, oh, that's a hard one?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Peter Martins, he really understands what the technical crew has to do. So we work together as he programs all of this, but he really, he comes with a good foundation of, I think you can do this. But we always talk about, is it physically possible, both logistically and time-wise?
And what happens if it isn't? I mean, then it doesn't happen, or you change it. But then are you messing with the artistic vision? I mean, it's a balancing act, isn't it?
Always. And I always say we're often asked to do the impossible, and we keep doing it. And then we keep getting asked to do an even more difficult situation. But we, you know, we're always tweaking it to make adjustments and to make it work. And that's our job, is to keep the artistic level the same here as it would be anywhere else.
But I'm thinking about, you get an extraordinary artist that comes on, that it has to change. Your work has to be either diminished or enhanced by the artist and what they're doing. No? I mean, it's a pretty vague question, but what I mean by that is, you work very hard to come up with the background and the scenery, and then somebody comes on, one person comes on who wows the house, and nobody's looking at the scenery.
It's great, isn't it? But there's going to be one or two people in the background that are going, oh, that's such a beautiful drop. Oh, that's so beautiful. And, you know, that's an important thing with the lighting, is that it's there to enhance and to create, and it really shouldn't distract. I mean, there are some times where, you know, the curtain goes up. Like, what was it? It must have been Midsummer. I must admit, someone the other day, we take great pride, and we take it personally when the audience applauds when the curtain goes out.
Yeah.
I mean, I will tell you that the stage managers, we take credit on that was a good curtain. And like when we do Serenade, the opening picture is so stunning and it's so beautiful that sometimes the audience just can't help themselves and they react to that. And honestly, the production staff takes a little credit for that.
And should.
As well, you should.
Yeah.
Sure. What did you make of Donald Trump's entrance at the convention the other night?
That can segue into a question about the schedule here.
You know,
you know, we came in here on Sunday and we worked 9 a.m. to midnight.
Okay.
And then we did that Monday.
But
did that Tuesday.
I asked the question because there was the, you know, there's the fog and the smoke and he comes out and the silhouette. I mean, do you look at that and say, oh, that's well done, that's well executed?
Absolutely. I mean, I honestly, I haven't seen any of it. I've missed it all. But I am a big fan. My daughter is a huge fan of Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
And I think the production elements that they do on that live show on a weekly basis are phenomenal. I would love to get a backstage tour, be a fly on the wall to see how they achieve that. I mean, I know there's a certain amount of planning to go through as to how each week is going to lay out, but how they physically put that two-hour show together. Which is live. I'm so impressed by the technology and the smooth running of it. It's really... all of us technical people are geeks in that way, that we're looking at the new. I mean, there's constantly new technology coming as well, and that's really fun to see.
I wanted to follow up on Joe's very good question a second ago. So what do you really think of Donald Trump?
No, I didn't mean to make it political. I was just interested in that idea of coming through, because I assume that takes pretty much what you do and to
it's
do
like
it on
the
stage.
Super Bowl. You know, the halftime of the Super Bowl, you know, is a lot of fun for us to watch. And we know a lot of people that are, you know, working on that show, you know.
Yeah.
So it's always fun when it's all done. There's often a sheet that comes out that's, you know, Super Bowl halftime by the numbers, you know, and just the amount of gear and people. And that's always really, because it's an amazing event. It's an amazing feat to put that off.
When you all move in here, I mean, are you looking around going, oh, where's this stuff? Where you know, do you lose track of it at some point?
No.
They don't know where it is. Right. There isn't like a truck and down in Jersey somewhere that has stuff that you need.
You know, it's actually very complicated, and it's even more complicated this year because the company was in Paris just prior to this arrangement. So the logistics of having two sets of gear in two different places, because we have four shipping containers that are hopefully on a boat at this point on their way back to New York. And then we had...
Hopefully.
Hopefully. There's there's a lot going on over there. But
right.
There's also six tractor trailers of equipment that came up here. We also had a very small shipment of things of air freight that could not we could not replicate, and that's things like the dancers' makeup and their rehearsal clothes and personal effects. We did Serenade in Paris. We're doing Serenade here. So we had a small shipment that got air freighted between the two locations. But things like the plastics and the scrims and the dance floors and things like that, we have to have two sets so that we can have one in Paris and one in here at the same time.
So we noticed when we came in that the next room is given over to massage and physical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Are you allowed to use those facilities?
You know, they're wonderful people and good friends that we've known each other, you know, for 20 years. And sure. I have to say, if one of the stagehands or one of the staff member has an ache or pain, they're here to help us all. I mean, I wouldn't get in line necessarily because I really think the dancers
come first.
They absolutely come first. But, you know, they're wonderful people, and they have been known to take a look and say, you should go to right. this person and you should take a look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Marguerite Mailer is the director of production for the New York City Ballet. It's been a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to the live broadcast for the Roundtable from SPAC on WAMC.